नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय We are reading today from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, entitled Contents of the Gita Summarized, text 14. Matra sparshastu kaunteya, shitoshna sukha dukha daha. आगमापायिनो नित्यास् ताम स्थितिक्षस्व भारत Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation of this verse. O son of Kunti, Krishna is telling Arjun, the non-permanent appearance of happiness and distress and their disappearance in due course are like the appearance and disappearance of winter and summer seasons. They arise from sense perception, O son of Bharata, and one must learn to tolerate them without being disturbed. Purport. In the proper discharge of duty, one has to learn to tolerate non-permanent appearance and disappearance of happiness and distress. According to Vedic injunction, one has to take his bath early in the morning, even during the month of Magh, January and February. It is very cold at that time, but in spite of that, a man who abides by the religious principles does not hesitate to take his bath. Similarly, a woman does not hesitate to cook in the kitchen in the month of May and June, the hottest part of the summer season. One has to execute his duty in spite of climatic inconveniences. Similarly, to fight is the religious principle of the Kshatriyas. And although one has to fight with some friend or relative, one should not deviate from his prescribed duty. One has to follow the prescribed rules and regulations of religious principles in order to rise up to the platform of knowledge. Because by knowledge and devotion only can one liberate himself from the clutches of Maya or illusion. The two different names of address given to Arjuna are also significant. To address him as Kaunteya signifies his great blood relation from his mother's side, and to address him as Bharata signifies his greatness from his father's side. From both sides, he is supposed to have a great heritage. A great heritage brings responsibility in the matter of proper discharge of duties. Therefore, he cannot avoid fighting. That is in the next verse. Why one should tolerate and perform one's duty? Yam hina vyathayantyete purusham purushar shabha samadukha sukham dhiram saha amratatvaya kalpate. O best among men, Arjuna, the person who is not disturbed by happiness and distress and is steady in both is certainly eligible for liberation. So, it's very good that we have begun Srila Prabhupada's desire to discuss scriptures morning and evening. It's actually a very good injunction. Actually, we should be remembering the Lord always. But at least during morning and evening. Sandhya. Sandhya means between two junction between two different parts of the day. Night meets morning, early in the morning, when the sun rises. That's one Sandhya. Morning meets evening at noon. That is second Sandhya. And then evening meets night at sunset. That is, there are three sandhyas. Trisandhyam. Sandhya Vandana. And that time must be, we must remind ourselves of who we are, what are the goal of life, am I utilizing every moment of that day towards moving that goal? Or am I caught up in the unnecessary necessities of life? Which we, out of ignorance, out of illusion, create in our life. Unnecessary priorities for which we give our lives, energy, time, practically the whole existence. And why is it unfortunate? Because at the end of the day, when we look back, we haven't become happy. The whole endeavor is to derive happiness. So much struggle. That's the nature of this world. Just to make the two ends meet, struggle. It's like running behind a mirage in the desert. I don't know, much of us haven't had this experience. Therefore, it's just some theoretical thing for us. But if at all, those of you who have been trained in some scouts or something, they take you to a desert, make you to walk with just one bottle of water that you have to bathe and use for everything, whatever, for so many days. Then you realize the value of water. And sometimes the water's over. Walking in the hot sun, scorching sun from the top, scorching sand from the bottom and hot wind from the sides. Your whole existence is drying up. And the only only focus at that time is, where can I get water? Practically our life's energy is getting exhausted. We have very little left, and therefore somehow you gather up energy and desperately look for water. And far away you see beautiful, cool, crystal, clear water. And with whatever energy you have, you gather up all of that and say, one last dash for it. And you go with all energy and all hopes, dive there, simply to find some more hot sand in your mouth. That is very frustrating. Then you realize, my God, I thought this water, instead of quenching my thirst, it's increased more. This is exactly the situation of those in illusion who are struggling and struggling and struggling day and night, 7 days a week, 24/7, 365 days a year, aspiring, hoping, just this landmark and I'll be happy. Just this promotion and I'll be happy. Just this increment, just this relationship, just one more addition in the family, just one more, you know, success in life, what I consider a success, and then smooth sail for the rest of the life. But somehow, after doing all that, you got that success, you got that increment, you got that promotion, you got that relationship, you got whatever you aspired for, still there is some hollowness. There is some loneliness, dissatisfaction experienced within the core of any sincere, honest, straightforward person. Out of hypocrisy, we may smile, have a facade, but the fact is, it's simply to hide the dissatisfaction, and the suffering, the misery at heart. Only for those who are honest, straightforward, is this Gita addressed. Arjuna was such an honest person. He used his intelligence. He was in between two armies. A warrior, knowing his duty, I have to fight. In the peak hour of his business, about to take the most crucial decision in his life. A decision which will not only mean the life and death for himself and his dearmost brothers, but life and death for 64 crores of people who had gathered there. And being a man of integrity, being an honest man of responsibility, being a man of principles, he did not want to take a decision for which he would have to repent for the rest of his life. So Gita is meant for those who want to live a life of principles, who want to live a life of integrity, who want to live a life of truth, and they are caught between two opposing forces. Damned if you do, damned if you don't. Arjuna saw the futility. If he fought, he would be miserable for the rest of his life because his own relatives were standing on the other side. How could he enjoy the property tainted with the blood of his own relatives? And if he did not fight, he would be miserable for the rest of his life. Every time he would see the loosened hair of Draupadi and the injustices and the sufferings that they had to undergo, his blood, his Kshatriya blood, his warrior blood would boil. He couldn't sleep. If he fought, he would be miserable. If he did not fight, he would be miserable. That is our situation in the world today. Damned if you do, damned if you don't. For those sincere, honest, principled men of integrity that Gita is spoken to, remove the dilemma. Because after he heard the Gita, he said, Nashto moha smritir labdhva tot prasadat mayachuta sitosmi gatasandeha krishye vachanandava. He had absolutely become, he had lost himself, his hair was standing on end, he was losing him. Powerful warrior, he was shaking. Not out of fear, but out of indecisiveness, out of compassion. Seeing the futility, the consequence of not being able to enjoy even after fighting this war. Seeing that I'll be engaging such sinful activities, killing of so many people, unnecessary killing. That's what he thought. Destruction of family. So many crores of warriors will be killed, their wives will be widowed, unscrupulous men will exploit them. Situation will become hellish. This was a man who was a very responsible man. He was not fighting a war simply to enjoy the result like Duryodhan. In fact, he said, Bhikshamapi haloke, I would rather beg and live, Krishna, rather than fight this war. Let them enjoy. Let them take away this. He wanted to run away from the battlefield. And the justification that he gave, anyone, if he spoke the justification of why he didn't want to fight, would consider him a very saintly person. Jai Shishi Radha Gopinath ki jai. Would consider him a very saintly person. But Krishna called him a fool. He said, Arjuna, if you don't fight this war, you're simply going to be a fool. Ashocha Ananva Ashochastav. Arjuna began, Krishna began with this question, with this answer. Ashochan anvashochastvam pragyabhadam shibhasase gatasun agatasunscha nanushochanti pandita. You're speaking like learned man, but you are a fool, let me tell you, Arjun. Because this decision is not going to make you happy, not neither you, nor the people here, nor the world. You'll be miserable. It is not a proper decision. That is the first sign of a guru. To remove the misconception from the heart of his disciple. That's the first thing. Because unless you are convinced that the path that you are following is not the right path, how will you be inspired to take something else? Foolishly, a man is convinced that this is what is going to make me happy. The first thing is to convince him that the path that you are treading, my dear friend, is not the path that is going to give you what you are expecting. Prove it. Dismantle that foolish conclusion born out of ignorance, illusion, which leads to unnecessary dilemma, as Arjun. And then he says, Natvevaham jatunasam natvam neme janadhipah nachaivana bhavishyamah sarve vayamatah param. First and foremost thing that Krishna says is, Arjun, you are not this temporary body which is full of ignorance. Asat, Achit, temporary, and Nirananda, full of misery. The body is temporary, the body is full of ignorance, and the body is the source of all misery. Birth, old age, disease, death, inevitable. You must realize that you are Satchidananda, you are eternal, the soul is eternal, full of knowledge and blissful. You are seeking eternity. You don't want to die. You want to know the answers of every question. The ultimate question. Why are we suffering? How to overcome and find peace, happiness and bliss. And you want to become blissful, happy, satisfied, peaceful. Because that's your, as I think one of the freedom fighters said, freedom is our birthright. Similarly, becoming Satchidananda, eternal, full of knowledge and blissful, is our birthright in the human form, at least. To become Satchidananda, eternal, full of knowledge and blissful, is our birthright. Provided we know what our right, and to fulfill that right, you should know what your duties are. Therefore, Krishna says in the next verse, Dehi nosmin yatha dehe kaumaram yavanam jara, tatha dehantara praptir dhiras tatra namuhyati. That Arjun, this body which is born, grows, stays for some time, produces offsprings, dwindles and dies. The body is going to take its own course. Whoever you are, a saint or a swindler, whoever you are, the body is going to take its course. Therefore, just don't get unduly absorbed in trying to avoid the inevitable. However, focus on the real substance. And what is that substance? Self-realization, to realize who we are. What is our natural constitutional position? And try to be situated in that position of eternity, knowledge and bliss. So, the body will pass through all these stages, but dhiraha tatra namuhyati. A sober, self-realized person is not bewildered by such a change. He's not bewildered by such a change. Because that's the nature of the world. Every coin has two sides, heads and tails. Right? Except in Sole. Heads. But that's not, government of India doesn't circulate that kind of coins. You have the head and tail. So, they are the two sides. And therefore he says, who is dhira? Who is dhairya? One with dhairya. Dhairya means patience. Who is not disturbed? He is very patient and sober. He doesn't lose his sobriety in any situation of life. That is dhira. He doesn't become restless. He doesn't become impatient. He doesn't become disturbed in any situation of life, which are the nature of this world. The moment you have a body, the soul has a body. Body means duality. Body means duality. Why? Because body has senses. And senses means something that is pleasing to the senses, something that is displeasing to the senses. Cold. Wow, so nice. Hot. Too cold. Misery. Too hot. Austerity. What is that? One devotee told me, man by nature is such a fool. He wants it hot when it is cool. He wants it cool when it is hot, always wanting what is not. So during summer, you create some nice fans, air conditioning, coolers. In winter, you want some heater and whatnot. That's the nature. The senses, sometimes it's going to be hot, sometimes it's going to be cold. Mind is attached to certain kind of things giving you happiness. Generally, mind addresses itself or connects itself with the senses. Whatever pleases the senses, I like it, I love it, I am happy. Something that is displeasing to the senses, I hate it. Whether it is food stuff, whether it is kind of people, whatever. Happiness and distress. And then there's a big fat ego. Anyone who just pampers the ego, you're so nice. Thank you, you realized it. And someone, if they speak the truth, what you said is not nice. You're a very puffed up, arrogant fellow. How dare you? I don't like it. I've been insulted. One little disturbing word and a person can be miserable for weeks together. Why did this person turn his face when I looked at that person? What is it? He insulted me. Why did he look at me in the wrong way? Why did he make his face? Maybe because poor fellow, he must have, you know, something, some problem. Who knows what's happened? Why did he make his face like that? Person can be absolutely disturbed for weeks together, sometimes months together. I'm speaking with deep realization, I'm telling you. It happened to me. 3 months later, this person clarified. I came to you that day, I wished you, and you didn't even look at me. I said, please, I really like you. You know, that day, maybe I was busy, I was going to attend for a call, and I was so focused, I just ran. You must have wished, I didn't see you. Oh, really? Okay. I thought maybe, you know, you had something like that. I felt very insulted. I felt you didn't bother. Happens. What to speak of something bigger than this? So that's the nature of this world. Shita, Ushna, Sukha, Dukha, Mana, Apamana, Yoho. That's the nature of the mind. Mind is a thing in itself. It can make a hell of heaven, heaven of hell. You can be in the most comfortable situation and become most miserable. Mind desperately needs some excuse to become miserable. To make us suffer. So that's the nature of the mind. Therefore, Krishna is telling, don't get caught up in these things. And this is only possible when you realize what's the goal, where am I, how much time I have, how much distance I should travel, and therefore I can't afford to be diverted or no temptations, no distraction. I should be moving towards my goal. That is my duty. The essence of duty comes. And irrespective of whether it is heat or cold, happiness or distress, honor or dishonor, I move towards the goal, which is the goal of human life. A person without a goal gets caught up in these dualities, keeps changing the goals, keeps changing the path, because there is no goal, there is no priority, there is no understanding of what direction to move. So matras prashastu kaunteya shita ushna sukha duk agama apayinaha. They come and they go. Summer, now Shivratri is over. Summer is come already. Till May, I don't know, because of global warming, how long it will go and how much it will go. It may break all high this time. Then it's going to rain. Then it's going to be cold. Not here much in Bombay, but in the north, much in the south, extreme degrees, extreme cold. I've gone to Amritsar and all these places. Even in the noon time, the sun looks like moon among the cloud. So much fog. Very, very miserable. Intense cold. Intense heat. You have to pass. You just have to bear and go through your... You can't say, it's too cold, I won't perform my duty. Try to tell this to your boss. Whether it's too cold, whether it's too hot, therefore I can't perform my duty. There will always be some excuse not to perform your duty. Tam stirikshasubharata. Simply tolerate and just go on with your duty. And Prabhupada gives two examples. A man who is religious principles, he's supposed to take early morning bath, cold water bath, normal water bath. Cold season becomes cold. Normal water becomes cold. So you're supposed to take a regular bath, come in front of the Lord to worship the Lord every morning, to wake up the Lord at a particular time, early morning. So anyone who is performing the duty has to simply tolerate. Sometimes in the hot season, cold water is very pleasing. And the cold season, cold water is very displeasing. But he does it nevertheless. Actually, the fact is, every living entity tolerates. The principle, the main focus on this verse is, tolerate Arjun, tolerate, tolerate, tolerate. How long? Simply tolerate till the last breath of your life. In the fifth chapter, Krishna says, till you give up this body, one has to tolerate. Because duality means the nature of the body. Now, how do you tolerate? Some may tolerate with, you know, grinding your teeth. You may tolerate like that. You may tolerate out of fear. Right? Fear of being thrown out of a job. You tolerate the mean boss. You may still smile and say, yes, sir. Sometimes air hostesses, they do tolerate. Sometimes people are very mean and say, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Duty. They just tolerate. What can they do? Otherwise, they'll be thrown out of the job. If they also say, I'll give you a piece of my mind. If they decide, whole coffee, throw it on his face. As they may do at home sometimes. But they may not like it. So, tolerating is a must. But its spirituality means not what you do, but why you do what you do. This is it. What makes an act spiritual. Otherwise, Duryodhana is sitting on the chariot, shooting arrows, killing people. Arjuna is sitting on the chariot, shooting arrows, killing people. Both are doing absolutely the same activity externally. But one activity is entangling them in the cycle of birth and death. Because one activity is motivated by lust, anger, greed, envy, pride, and illusion. And Arjuna, he didn't want to fight. He was so compassionate. No, no, Krishna, I don't want to fight. I don't like it. Let them enjoy. Krishna says, you're a fool. Who cares whether you like it or not? I like it. Better fight. I want you to fight. Because that's your duty as a warrior. If there's a policeman, if there's a woman walking and somebody snatches the purse and just runs away. And the police catches him. And the thief says, you know, I'm in very, very need, you know, therefore I got it. You know, please, I'll try to understand. And the police says, very compassionate. Yeah, tu bhi cheek hai ja. He can't show compassion. It's his duty. It's not the right thing to do. Can't show compassion there. That compassion is foolish. So, a warrior has to fight. That's his duty to see that dharma is protected. But first of all, you should know what is dharma. And he must protect that dharma. And then he must tolerate. Whether he likes it or not, his mind is, he likes it or not, he just does it nevertheless. So there are different levels of tolerance. Tolerance in the mode of ignorance. Tamoguna. They also tolerate. But that's born out of fear. Sometimes a powerful man is standing in front of you. You can't do anything and therefore you tolerate. What can I do? I can't do anything. Or sometimes you tolerate because there's no other choice. Fear of disease. How many people want to give vent to their lust of smoking, drinking, everything. But there is fear of disease. Oh, I may get this, I may get this, I may get HIV, I may do this. Everyone, it is the nature of a person having a gross body. Loke vyavaya amisha madhya seva nitya sajantur nahi tatra chodana. The natural conditioning of a body which is made up of three modes of nature, sattva, rajo and tamoguna, especially in the tamoguna, three things are, just like the nature of the water is to flow down and down and down till it reaches the lowest level, the nature of consciousness, if not controlled, is to go and go and go to the lowest level of meat eating, intoxication and illicit sex. As long as you have a body of flesh and blood, there is a tendency to drink alcohol, there is a tendency to eat meat, and there is a tendency to have illicit sex. These are deep natural instinct of the gross material body. Just leave a child without training, without any samskara. Naturally they will move towards that. You don't need to train the dogs how to have sex. You don't need to get training to students not to have these things. Leave them. Don't even touch them. Don't restrict them. Just see where they go. Allow the water where it goes. It doesn't go up. It flows down till it goes to the lowest level. Drugs, addiction, all kinds of things. Why? Because that's the nature of, in the mode of ignorance, there is a natural tendency to flow down. Go down and down and down. You don't have to train anyone. You don't have to restrain. Leave them and automatically it goes like that. But if there is some wisdom is the beginning, fear is the beginning of wisdom, as they say. Foolish people don't care even if they want to die. Let cancer come. Who cares? I want to enjoy. Eat, drink and be merry. That's my philosophy. All right. Go to hell. You can't do anything for such a person. They say they are independent. What is that? Just do it. That's their philosophy written on their t-shirt. Just do it. I feel like it. I do. I don't care what society says. I don't care about the time. I don't care about the place. I don't care about the circumstance. That's doggish life. A dog doesn't care to engage in these kind of activities, irrespective of where he's standing. He doesn't care. I feel like it. I just do it. I want what I want when I want. Okay? That's their philosophy. Yes, you want what you want when you want and you will go where you are supposed to go. It's a fact. You will go where God wants you to go because of this kind of activity. It's a fact. So, it's not human life. It's a cat's and dog's life. But even a doggish mentality of the lowest mode of ignorance, because of some good intelligence in the mode of ignorance, the only way to instill some tolerance, Baba, tolerate, please don't engage in this activity because you'll get disease. Look at this picture. Look at this person having cancer. Kya ho jata uska dekho. Theek hai, theek hai. Only few cigarettes a day, huh? Not too much. Jada nahi, kyunki cancer ho jata. Don't have too much illicit sex, HIV. Just look at him. Acha, I'll control. It is simply fear. It is because of fear of poverty that people do something. Fear of shame that people restrain themselves. It's because of shame. What will society feel? Therefore, I restrain. Let them go and just see where it goes. So, anyway, people have to tolerate. A sensible little sense in a man makes him tolerate. He wants to steal, but there is a fear of the police. There is fear of society, fear of name being spoilt. But sometimes we see untrained people today, even in top leadership position, because of lack of knowledge, because of lack of training and education, they also perform such activities, and it completely, the whole society, the morale goes down. My God, if he does, I can do in a little thing. He's doing in a big way. I'll do it in a small way. So, people do tolerate, but the lowest level of tolerance is out of fear. Fear of shame, fear of disease, fear of poverty. People tolerate. Higher than that is a fear of or higher than that is tolerating for gain. That's in the mode of passion. In the mode of passion, you tolerate all the happy heat and cold. Some people I know, just for little monetary gain, they are ready to travel from one place in this planet to another planet, another part of this planet, where it's extremely cold or extremely hot. For some monetary gain, they are ready to tolerate separation from their family, separation from their loved ones, separation from wonderful society of people. They are ready to go in some corner of the earth just because there is some monetary gain. They are able to tolerate. Tolerate all kinds of environment, all kinds of food stuff. They don't get proper kind of food stuff just because they want to get some degree or they want to get a lot of money or they got whatever. People do tolerate. That's called tolerating in the mode of passion. People tolerate all kinds of mean people. They're ready to lick their boots. Just because if I can please this person, I'll get what I want, which will make me happy. And therefore people do that. But unfortunately, because in the mode of ignorance and passion, you do not know what the goal of life is. You tolerate and tolerate and tolerate. And the end of life, you see, you wasted your life. You didn't get your result. You were miserable before and you're miserable now. And therefore, you see only misery in the future. You always remain a miserable man. But tolerating is a must. But Krishna is telling Arjun, rise above to at least the mode of goodness. In the mode of goodness, you again have to tolerate, but you tolerate for a higher purpose. You restrain your material desires. Desires are there in the heart. An animalistic person lets go the material desire and suffers in the beginning, in the middle, and in the end. A person in the mode of ignorance lets go to fulfill the desire and suffers. A person in the mode of passion, when he is going ahead, he thinks he is enjoying. He tolerates all the sufferings and moves ahead thinking that he's going. So he may feel a little happiness that yes, I'm climbing up the ladder of success. But when he reaches there, he realizes it was miserable in the process. And after getting that, I'm still miserable. Then comes in the mode of goodness. In the mode of goodness, he acknowledges, he sees. In the mode of goodness, you see things clearly. You are not, the colored glass is removed. The jaundiced vision is removed. And you see things in proper perspective. You see, my God, this world is a very dirty place. You know, you have to do so much to get some benefit. Number two, you acknowledge that within my heart there are so many desires. Lusty desires. I get so angry. I feel so envy when I see somebody who is successful. It's a fact. I acknowledge. I'm envious. I'm angry. I'm greedy. I'm lusty. It's a fact. Practically everyone is. But then he acknowledges it and takes shelter of a proper authority, how to remove the disease of these material desires. What is material desire? desire to satisfy the body, the mind, and the senses and the false ego, but not the soul. And what is the spiritual desire? Spiritual desire means which satisfies the soul. So, the first thing that a human being, a responsible human being does, Arjuna is presenting, I don't like to fight. His mind didn't want to fight. He said, I can't enjoy. Who cares whether you enjoy or not? What is duty? Duty means whether you like it or not, you do it nevertheless. Whether you are honored or dishonored, whether you are happy or unhappy, whether it is heat or cold, you do it nevertheless. That is duty. In any situation, any dualities of life, because dualities are on the bodily platform, the soul's duty towards the Lord must be performed at every stage. And how we govern ourselves? Through the scriptures. Shastra comes from the Shas Dhatu. Shas means to govern. Shasan, right? Maharashtra Shasan. What is Shasan? Shasan means to govern. And Shastra, there are two ways of governing people. One is Shastra. Show them the fine. Seat belt nahi dalega, 500 rupees. Anyway, you see the police, immediately you put the seat belt. That's the only way in the mode of ignorance you understand. In the mode of passion, jo regularly dalega, uska license ko ye diya jayega, some ye diya jayega, some facilities will be given. Therefore, you put. In the mode of goodness, you see, it's a duty, Baba. I may hurt myself, so I need to put it. So, in the mode of goodness, sattva guna, you see that people, through their good intelligence, they're trying out so many ways of satisfying themselves, they're miserable. I don't want to take that kind of path. Let me take shelter of the scriptures, which guarantees that anyone who follows this can achieve real happiness. I will follow this. And scriptures are like Lakshman Rekha. Whether it is heat or cold, happiness or distress, honor or dishonor, I shall do it nevertheless. Just like a mother. She wants to take care of the children. Sometimes the children cause so much unhappiness. Sometimes they don't reciprocate. You have so many expectations, they may not reciprocate. But at least from the parent's side, the deal is on. The contract is on. Whether there is reciprocation or not, I do my part of the contract. Or I do my part of my role. There may be reciprocation, there may be no reciprocation. Am I dependent on reciprocation? That means it is fruitive mentality. Karmanyeva adhikaraste ma phaleshu kadachan. Irrespective of fruit, I perform my duty. Because that's my duty. It's my part of the duty. That is the beginning of spirituality. In the mode of goodness. I take bath, whether it is December or whether it is May, June. A responsible person does it irrespective of the dualities of life. You're honored for it sometimes and you're dishonored for it sometimes. Who cares? But I shall do my part. It's my duty. So you have to know what is your duty, of course, first of all. But even there, somehow you tolerate. You somehow grudgingly bear it, even though you may not like it. But higher than that, yam hinavyathayantyete purusham purusharshabha samadukha sukham dhiram saha amritatvaya kalpate. When we continue to perform our duty, not out of mere obligation, but gradually out of love. When we hear of the scriptures out of duty, regularly I should hear scripture, because scriptures sharpens your intelligence. Hearing the scriptures sharpens your intelligence and makes you very discriminatory. What is right, what is wrong? What is temporary, what is eternal? What should I strive for in life? खोदा पहाड़ निकली चूहिया. दैट्स अ मटेरियलिस्टिक एंडेवर. यू सो मच वर्क एंड यू गेट ए ड्रॉप ऑफ हैप्पीनेस व्हिच इज फ्लीटिंग. But then you realize human life is meant for self-realization. Your nature is to become eternal, full of knowledge and blissful. You realize who you are. I am not the body, I am the soul. I am part and parcel of God. I should serve God. When you start serving God and serving every living entity in relationship with God, then that tolerance becomes not merely out of obligation and a duty, but it becomes a pleasure. You tolerate out of pleasure. That is love. When you are tolerating out of pleasure, you look forward to any situation. And in all situation, your service to the Lord and in relationship with the Lord, with every living entity, out of love, out of compassion, that is that you have risen above, and such a person is liberated. Liberated from the bodily concept, because any bodily situation cannot disturb him from performing his duty. Because there is intense love. That's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said. My Lord, if you want, embrace me. If you want, neglect me. If you want, kick me. But I will serve you unconditionally. There's no condition. Only under these conditions I will serve. And under these other conditions I won't serve. That's the nature of this world. Unconditional. I would like to just read from Srimad Bhagavatam about one great personality in the Bharata dynasty. Prabhupada is saying, Krishna is reminding him, Kaunteya, Matras Prashastu Kaunteya, Tamsidikshasu Bharata. Kaunteya, from mother's side, you're coming from Kunti Devi. A great lady. And Bharata, you're coming in the Bharata Vamsha. Great personalities who lived a life of tolerating all the inconveniences for, out of love, for serving the higher purpose. Therefore, when you have a high heritage, Bharat Bhumite Hoila Manusha Janmajar, Janma Sarthaka Kari Karo Paropakar. Anyone who has taken his human birth in India, a land of dharma and karma, Punya Bhumi, it's a great responsibility because we have got a great heritage. To whom much is given, much is expected. And we find in Srimad Bhagavatam how these great personalities dealt with dualities of life. This is the story of Maharaj Rantidev. Maharaj Rantidev was coming in the Bharata Vamsha. He was a great devotee of the Lord. And for the welfare of his subjects, he decided to fast. Can you imagine? Not only him, out of love for him, his whole family accompanied him in his service to the whole kingdom. He served his kingdom knowing, I am a representative of the Lord. And as a representative of the Lord, I should represent the Lord for my subjects. And the Lord's job is to protect. And therefore, I shall undergo any inconveniences happily to protect and serve and nourish my subjects. And therefore, he decided, because there was a drought or something, he underwent fast. And the whole family, out of love, decided to fast with him. He didn't ask them lovingly. When God is the center of our relationship, then those emotions in that relationship is actually satisfying to the soul. So they all fasted voluntarily, happily. For 48 days, Maharaj Rantidev didn't take a grain of food or a drop of water. And he was just remembering the Lord and serving the Lord. Chanting, hearing the name, form, beautiful form, the Lord. At the end of the 48th day, he decided to break his fast. He got water and an ingredient which was a foodstuff which was made of milk and ghee. So it was kept in front of him. Imagine, 48 days he has thought. Actually his body was trembling, he was about to die out of hunger. And at that time, as he was about to eat, sitting with his family members, generally after one day of fasting, we become so restless. Our whole consciousness is on food rather than on God. When will the time for breaking come? The whole consciousness is focused. And anyone who disturbs us from our desired goal becomes the object of our curse. We get really restless because the body is very disturbed. We don't want anyone to disturb at that time. One day, 24 hours, what to speak of 48 days. And he did not jump at it and grab it. He set it up and offered beautiful prayers to the Lord, thanked the Lord for his wonderful grace with his family members. And he was about to honor the prasad when at the door, a brahmana called out, "Oh, I'm very hungry. Can anyone give me a little food?" Very graciously, Maharaj Rantidev got up. He had no energy to even get up. He got up, took the food, shared a portion of that food with the brahmana, saw him happily eating, satisfied. Then he saw him off. Then he came back and shared the food with his family members, gave them their portion. Taking his portion, a little water and little food stuff, he sat down. As he was about to eat, again, a man came, a guest arrived with a pack of dogs. And he said, "Oh, we are very hungry. Is there some food?" Rantidev shared the food with everyone, happily, with smile. Genuine smile coming from his heart, he actually shared that food. And after that, he was about to die at this stage. He had no energy. There was a little water. That was his only source of life, actually life. And he was about to honor it when a chandala came at the door. And he said, "Oh, I'm thirsty, I'm about to die. Can someone give me a glass of water?" Rantidev got up. Actually, he was giving his life. Sometimes we say, "I want my aap pran se bhi pyare ho. Main aapke liye pran dene ke liye taiyar hoon." Actually, literally, it was his life. Because he knew, if I don't drink this water, I am going to die. That was his life water. And he took it. With trembling hands, he walked to the door. And with all graciousness, with a genuine love, he gave that chandala. And the Bhagavad says, for those of you who are interested, please read this. 9th canto, 21st chapter, text number 16, 17 and 18. 9, 21, 16, 17 and 18. You must memorize these two verses, especially 17 and 18. I'll read the translation. Savaitebhyo namaskritya nissango vigataspraha vasudeve bhagavati bhaktya chakre manah param. Sorry, wrong reference. It is 11, 12 and 13. Tasyatam karunam vacham nishamya vipulashramam kripaya Bhrishasantapta idam ahamrutam vachah. Tasyatam karunam vacham. He was about to drink and he heard this karunamai cry, a desperate cry of hunger. Karunam vacha nishamya vipula shramam. A person who was totally fatigued, extremely fatigued, and he was crying out. Kripaya bhrisha santapta. Out of great compassion. Arjuna is also talking about compassion here. But that compassion was based on the bodily platform which Krishna criticizes. And then he says, real compassion means you have to fight. Because real compassion means protect dharma. And for that dharma, tolerate the inconvenience of killing your family members if you want. Do that. Tolerate all the inconveniences, whether you like it or not. So he says, Kripaya Bhrisha Santapta, extremely suffering condition when he saw that. Idam Aha Amritam Vachaha. Amrita, very interesting. His words, when he spoke to that man, his words itself was life-giving. Forget about the water. His words was life-giving to the other person. Though himself was dying, but his words were life-giving to the Chandala who had come. Aggrieved at hearing the pitiable words of the poor, fatigued Chandala, Maharaj Rantidev spoke the following nectarian words. This is 12 and 13. Very beautiful. I would like to recite the verse also. Nakamayeham gatimishvarat param ashtardhi yuktam apanarbhavam va artim prapadye khiladeha bhajam antasthito yena bhavantya dukha. He's praying to the Lord. I do not pray to the Supreme Personality of Godhead for the 8 perfections of mystic yoga, nor for salvation from repeated birth and death. I want only to stay among all the living entities and suffer all distresses on their behalf so that they may be freed from suffering. Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, Vasudev Dutt made a similar statement to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, requesting the Lord to liberate all living entities in his presence. Vasudev Dutt submitted that if they were unfit to be liberated, he himself would take all their sinful reactions and suffer personally so that the Lord might deliver them. A Vaishnava is therefore described as being paradukha dukhi, very much aggrieved by the sufferings of others. As such, a Vaishnava engages in activities for the real welfare of human society. And then he says, by offering my water to maintain the life of this poor Chandala who is struggling to live, I have been freed from all hunger, from thirst, from fatigue, from trembling of the body, moroseness, distress, lamentation and illusion. Why? Because this service to the Lord and in service of the Lord to the living entities is satisfying and nectarian and nourishing and sustaining the soul. Even though the body is dying because of the duality of suffering, a person who has risen above and situated on the platform of the soul, performing the activities of the soul, can tolerate these things. Therefore, Krishna says in the next part, Yam hinavyatayantyete purusham purusharshava samadukha sukham dhiram. Who is dhira? One who has realized, I am not this body. And what is the practical how does this, I am not the body, I am the soul, translate into practical life of devotion? It translates by the fact that irrespective of the dualities of the body, our devotion to the Lord, which is our natural constitutional position of the soul, doesn't stop. If it stops, it is conditional. If it is heat, I can't do. If it is cold, I can't do. If I'm too happy, I won't chant. If I'm too distressed, I don't chant. If I'm respected in the societies of Vaishnavas, then it's okay. If I'm disrespected, to hell with Krishna, to hell with devotional service. That means I'm identifying with my ego, my mind, my senses. But actually a person says, irrespective of whatever it is, my natural constitutional position, Jiver Swarupoy Krishner Nityadas, Mamaivamsho Jivaloke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. This is Sanatana Dharma. The Sanatana Jiva has a Sanatana relationship with the Sanatana Lord in the Sanatana sky. To be reconstituted in that loving relationship is Sanatana Dharma. And anyone, even in this material body, is rendering that service. He's a liberated soul. And these dualities won't affect him. We see in the life of Srila Prabhupada, those dualities did not affect him. Prabhupada talks about sannyas, taking sannyas, renouncing family, so painful, so difficult. But Srila Prabhupada did it. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did it. Tyaktva sudustya jasurepsita raja lakshmim dharmishtha aryavachasa yadagadaranyam maya mrigam daitayepsitaman vadhavat vande mahapurushate charanaravindam. Glorifying Maharaj, Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Maharaj Nimi is told by Karabhajana Rishi that the Yuga avatar for this Yuga, Kali Yuga, is Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he tolerated the taking of sannyas simply out of compassion. Tyaktva sudustyaja. Sudustyaja. Tyaja means to give up. Dustyaja means difficult to give up. Sudustyaja means really difficult to give up. What is difficult to give up in this world? Sura ipsita rajya lakshmi. He gave up opulence, which was difficult even for demigods, aspired even by demigods. He had a most loving mother, a mother who was ready to give her life for him, whose whole existence was the pleasure of his son Nimai. He had a chaste wife, Lakshmi, who was actually the goddess of fortune, whose whole existence was pleasing her husband. He had fame and name. When he wanted to have a sankirtan against Chand Kazi, at the lift of a finger, literally millions of people gathered. That was his influence. That was his popularity. Today one political says, this band, Bharat band, how much was the success? You have to really threaten, and all gundas have to go and threaten some people to close the door. But when Mahaprabhu said, we are going to just have Sankirtan in protest, billions of people gathered in the evening. He said it in the morning, in the evening they were there. That was his influence. Even though it was a Muslim government, with his influence, he made them supportive to his mission. No one could stop his mission. They told him, yes, you could do whatever you want. That was his influence. And he had such loving associates. During the Haridas, during the Srivas Thakur's house, Kirtan, Srivas' son died. And Srivas said to his family members, if at all you cry and disturb Mahaprabhu's Kirtan, I will also go and die. He had such loving associates whose life and soul was to please Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Amazing. Such loving wife, such loving mother, such loving associates, such name, fame, popularity, wealth. But he was ready to give up all of these comforts. Why? Yadagad aranyam. To go into the forest. Concrete jungles of today. He went into the Jharikhanda forest. He went into Vrindavan. He went into South India. He traveled all. Why? Daitaya. Out of great compassion. Anvadhavat. He ran after those maya mrigam. Maya means who are conditioned. Who think that these things are going to give me happiness. My bank balance, my wife, my children, my fame, my name, all these are going to give me happiness. Mrigam, mrigayati means searching after. The whole world is running super speed at trying to catch after things which will, hoping that they are going to make them happy. And Mahaprabhu had to run at double speed to catch them. So if a thief is running at 80 kilometers, the police has to go at 100 kilometers, you know, to stop that guy. Anvadhavat. Mahaprabhu ran after these conditioned souls. would embrace them, catch them, and infuse their heart with love of God. And therefore he took sannyas, which is very painful, never to see them again. So in this movement, Srila Prabhupada did that. He was well situated in Vrindavan, renounced in Vrindavan, so much respected, happy, comfortable, old man, no money. He had so many reasons. We'll continue. We'll come to that. End it after the kirtan. Hare Krishna. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Ki Jai. Hare Krishna. So in conclusion, we may not have that compassion as yet. We may have actually no love, as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu expressed. Nadhanam najanam nasundarim kavitamba jagadisha kamaya. But still, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, he has given us the process by following which we can actually, hopefully one day, someday, some lifetime, develop that compassion. But till then, at least that process, let us try to perform by somehow tolerating the dualities. It is said, a greatness of a person is estimated by his ability to tolerate provoking situations. Maya is provoking us. The bodily conception of life, the senses are provoking. The mind is provoking. The false ego is provoking us to give up, to become restless, to become intolerant. But then, having full faith and with a grateful heart. If we have faith that by just sticking on to this process, one day I will develop love, an aspect of which is compassion. Actually, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, love of God is manifested as compassion for the suffering conditioned souls, deep friendship with devotees, and surrender and service to the Lord, and carefully avoiding the association of non-devotees. So let's perform this service with this aspiration, with faith and gratitude for the mercy we have been given. And then one day, probably, the Bhagavat will no more remain very, phantasmagoria stories, but we will be able to relish and appreciate and enjoy. Thank you. Hare Krishna. If any questions or comments, or clarifications, doubts, or suggestions, looks like, yeah.
Guruji, actually, when we hear, it sounds very impressive and we get very surcharged. But when we face the real situation, we just go into the mind and senses, we get pulled into the mind and senses. That time, the philosophy doesn't come to the rescue. Tolerance doesn't come to the rescue. Our instincts and our conditions are so powerful. So, that time it becomes very, you know.
So keep regularly charging yourself. The moment you find you are discharging, charge it again. It's like your mobile. And you know the charging time, how much it lasts. Especially when you are using it full time, incoming, outgoing, everything. So through our senses, mind and false ego, so much incoming and outgoing is there, which will discharge the battery. So Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, regularly charge. Take shelter of the Bhagavatam. Take shelter of the body becomes purified by serving the Lord, serving the deities, taking prasad. The mind becomes purified by chanting the holy name, charged by chanting the holy name. The intelligence becomes charged by scrutinizing study of scriptures. And the false ego is discharged and the real ego is charged. by regularly coming in the association of devotees. Machitta madgata prana bodhayantah parasparam kathayantascha mam nityam tushyanti cha ramanti cha. Tushyanti, this is satisfying. Satisfying the soul. Charging the soul. Tushyanti cha and ramanti cha. They take their pleasure here. If you don't take pleasure here, you will take pleasure somewhere else. So, A, B, C, D. Association of devotees to charge your ego, real ego, and discharge your false ego. B is books of transcendental literature for sharpening your intelligence to discriminate properly and carefully avoid unfavorable things, and to continue your determination, as you are asking, how to read the lives of those who are so determined, so focused. Discrimination and determination is the function of intelligence. So therefore, scrutinizing Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya and chanting the holy name, the mind runs everywhere and doesn't stay where it wants to be. The whole idea of chanting the holy name is to withdraw. Yato yato nishchalati manas chancharam asthiram tatastato niyam yaitad atman neva vasham nayad. And when we use our senses, as Maharaj Ambarish used, the eyes to behold the beautiful form of the Lord, then the desire to see other forms of the Lord diminishes. When we hear the glories of the Lord, name, form, qualities, pastimes of the Lord, then the desire to hear the name, form, qualities and pastimes of heroes of this world, so-called heroes of this world, diminishes. And similarly, all the senses. And then, taking Krishna Prasad, Tar madhye jivati lobho, taake jeta kathina samsa. Very difficult to control this tongue. It's like a rudder which takes the ship, huge million tonner ship, any direction, simply by turning the rudder. So that rudder, you know, small piece of wood, it's a small piece of flesh of tongue, small piece of flesh, can direct which the goal we want to achieve. So this is the way. Any other questions? Yes, one last question.
Krishna Prabhuji, so even we are performing the devotional service,
yeah.
Certain things go beyond our tolerance. I mean, certain times, and we perform some actions, for example, speaking harsh words and shouting or scolding. So these are the actions we perform. Then what reactions we get because of that? Even though our purpose is good behind this, shouting or scolding to someone. So what reactions one gets by these actions?
Actually, therefore, we have to do yam shastra vidhim utsrujya vartate kamakarataha nasa siddhim avapnoti na sukham na paramgati. One who gives up scriptures, the do's and don'ts of scriptures, vartate kama karataha, and acts whimsically, nasa siddhim avapnoti, he doesn't achieve the perfection of what he has set about to do. Nasukham, you will never become happy, and na paramgatim, you will never achieve the ultimate perfection of life. So therefore, don't worry about your likes and dislikes. Krishna's likes is our likes. Krishna's dislikes is our dislikes. That's all. Anukulyasa sankalpo, pratikulyasa varjanam. Arjuna had his own likes and dislikes. Krishna said, forget about your likes and dislikes. I want you to do this. And therefore, Arjuna made Krishna's likes his likes, Krishna's dislikes his dislikes. And for that, you have to tolerate. Tolerate not only distress, but tolerate happiness. A devotee tolerates happiness by feeling it is exhausting my pious reactions. He's tolerating. He doesn't get enamored by that. He knows good things come. Unknowingly good things come in our life. Then he says, oh, my pious reactions are getting burnt out. And when bad things comes, thank you, my Lord. My millions of past reactions of sinful reactions, they are getting burnt out. Thank you. So in both situations, he thanks the Lord. Such a person is liberated. Tattenu kampam sushamikshamano bhunjana eva atmakritam haridvagvapur bhirvidadha namaste jivetayo muktipadesa dayabhak. Same. Yamhina vyatayantiyete purusham pur samadukha sukham dhiram saha amritatvaya kalpate. Who is fit for liberation? Who has this? That he knows, as Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj said, sometimes mercy comes from the front. Sometimes mercy comes from the side. And sometimes mercy comes from the back. Mercy from the front means you pray to Krishna. Krishna, if you do this, you know, I really think you are very merciful. And sure enough, that's exactly what happens. And you feel, wow, Krishna, thank you so much. I expected it and it happened. Thank you. It's actually you. So that is expectation, mercy from the front. You expected it, it was approaching and you got it. And then mercy from the side. Sometimes unexpectedly something wonderful comes. Wow, thank you, Krishna. And then there is mercy from the back. The least that you expected. A kick. A kick to your senses, a kick to your mind, or a kick to your false ego, suffering, misery, insult. Thank you, my Lord. At that time, will you say thank you? You tolerated only this, but mercy from behind also tolerate. And saying thank you, my Lord. Anyone who says thank you in all the three circumstances, he's fit for liberation. Because he knows, behind all the dualities is the hand of my Lord. A mother sometimes may slap the child, and mother may sometimes pat the child. A foolish, ignorant child who doesn't know the intent of the mother sometimes thinks the mother is heartless and cruel, and sometimes the mother is very nice. But an intelligent child knows when she pats, ah, this is what I should be doing. Therefore, she is encouraging me by patting me. And when she slaps, a child thinks she loves me. And if she has slapped me, that means I must have done something and I must learn my lessons. What I did that I received this slap. I don't want to do this. And thanks the mother. Knowing that her actual intent is only for the rectification and the benefit and the of the child, born out of pure love. Maya adhyakshena prakriti suyate sa characharam. Behind the hand of this duality of material world is the hand of the Lord. Personal hand of the Lord. When you surrender to the Lord, then you must know that whatever happens is happening by the mercy of the Lord. That mercy may come from the front, from the side, from behind. But we thank nevertheless. Such a person is liberated in any circumstance and situation. And that's what Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj did. He got cancer. He was suffering like anything, but joyful. This is exactly what I need. And in this situation, how can I best serve my Lord? Very easy to speak, sitting on an exalted seat. When you know, after this prasadam is waiting, a lot of people are listening, so much, you know, fantastic speech, very shastric, holding the audience spellbound. But the real test is after you get down the Vyasasana. Are we able to live this philosophy? Tough. It's a lifetime project. Alright. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thai Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari.